going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We're going to start our series in the book of James, Lord willing, next Sunday. But I've had this message for a while and was just waiting for when the Lord wanted me to preach it. I think I studied this out back in June. So for some reason, the Lord had it for this morning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3. The book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, King Solomon, David's son. It's a book that looks at the life and the world kind of through an entirely human perspective, right? And like if we lived life without God and the purposeless and meaningless of that sort of life, one of the theme words of this book is the word vanity, which means emptiness. And without God, that's what life is. It is an empty, vain life. And we're going to read in chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 down through verse 11. The first 8 verses is a very well-known, very familiar passage. And it deals with the seasons of life, the changing seasons of life. And change can be difficult. Amen. Let's read chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Let's begin with prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to study your word. Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts now by your Spirit and through your word. Glorify yourself during this time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season. Every year the kindergartners in BBA, they learn a song about seasons. They learn a little song that helps them remember the four seasons. Winter and spring, summer and fall, God's four seasons, name them all, right? And then they go through and they sing about, I don't even know how it goes. The rain may fall and the something or other. I don't know. I should have maybe asked my mom about that song. Right, but they got the little verses and it talks about the seasons. I won't call a kindergartner up, see if they could remember it. Right, and it just goes through all the different seasons and they remember all of them. You know, we all have our favorite seasons, don't we? Right, some of it's fall or spring or winter or summer, all those different ones. We all have our seasons that we enjoy, but then they move on, right? And you're on to the next season. We're heading out of summer, we're heading into fall, and maybe some of you are really looking forward to that. The cooler days and the leaves turning color and apples and all of those things. The thought of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is that life does have different seasons. And in a sort of a broader sense than just summer and fall and winter and spring, right? But the idea of different times of life. And as we read through the first 8 verses, we get the idea that the seasons that he's talking about are periods of life that are marked by a certain quality or a certain attribute or a certain characteristic. And we all go through seasons like that in our life. And a lot of times there's different seasons that are concurrent, right? It's not we're just in one season, but different seasons of life all at the same time. And as Solomon goes through, he puts it very poetically. But as we read through, especially the first 8 verses and these different times, you come across some of these times of life that are very difficult, that are hard times in life. You look in verse 2, right at the beginning, it talks about times of death. In verse 3, it talks about times to break things down. In verse 4, times of weeping and times of mourning. Verse 6, it talks about a time to lose. In verse 8, it talks about a time of war. There's a lot of difficult seasons in life, but there's also good ones. I mean, we go down through in verse 2, there's time to be born, times of birth. Those are rejoicing times. Verse 3, there's times of healing. There's times of building up. Verse 4, there's times of laughing and times of dancing. Verse 5, times of embracing. In verse 6, there's times of getting. There's times of keeping. Verse 8, times of love, times of peace. And, you know, we could add a lot of other seasons to this list. You know, if we just thought about our life, we could break it down into seasons based on maybe age ranges in our life, right? There was the time where we were the season of us in as a child and then, you know, elementary and then high school. And then there's the season of, you know, our 20s and now we're, you know, whatever season you're in, right? We could break it down that way. We could talk about seasons based on like location, where we were at different times in our life. There was a season where we were here and then a season where we're there. Now there's the season where we are right now. You could do it by job, right? There was the season where you had this job or that job or without a job. We could talk about seasons based on health, right? And the health struggles that we have. And so there's a lot of ways we could break down all of these different seasons in our life. But one of the thoughts of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is that life is full of changes. And that one season moves to the next season. And that the season that we're in is not forever. What is for now, and it mentions this, what is for now a time of building will one day be a time of breaking down and starting over. And we see this in life. You know, the things that we do, right? The wallpaper you put up, one day somebody's going to come along and go, why'd they put this up there? And they're going to take it down. They're going to paint, right? And the trees that you plant in your backyard, they're like, these are beautiful. Someone's going to come along one day and go, I don't want to mow around them and chop them down. You know, we drive by the Crystal Mall, right? And we remember how the Crystal Mall used to be. And like, I was packed with stores and busy. Now we drive by and go, I don't know what's going to happen to that. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with that, but it's far emptier than it used to be. And you look back at how things used to be and they're not the way they were. This is just how life goes. We have seasons in life and one season moves to the next. And we're always dealing with change. This is the way God has created life. He's created life and he's created the world to run in seasons. But with the idea of seasons and especially the idea of change, change can be hard and change can be frustrating in a lot of different ways. Change is frustrating when it's either too fast or it's too slow. Because sometimes it's when change happens too slowly for us, we tend to want to rush. We tend to want to try and push ahead and just move on. And we can look at our life and go, why aren't things changing? I want things to change. I want things to be different. Why is it taking so long? Why are things moving so slowly? We can be dissatisfied with where we're at and focused on outside and focused on the next thing and when is that going to happen and so focused on the future. And you know the saying, right? The grass is always greener on the other side. And we're busy wanting things to change and frustrated that it's moving so slowly. Sometimes we're frustrated when change doesn't happen fast enough. Sometimes we're frustrated when it's happening too fast. When things are just like they're changing and we're not ready for it, right? We're looking at where we are in this pasture. The grass is really green here. And we're looking at where we're headed and going, looks pretty brown and dry over there. I don't want to leave where I'm at. I don't want things to change. We really enjoy where we're at, and yet life changes. And sometimes we're not in control of those changes. And we go, I don't want things to change. I want them to stay the way they're at. And we fear losing what we have. We fear not liking where we're going to be when things change. And we can spend time either wanting change and looking forward to it and hoping it happens, or not wanting it to happen and dreading it and wondering if what life is going to be when things change. There's another major theme in the book of Ecclesiastes, and that's the theme of contentment. And Solomon is looking at all of life and all the things that he's trying to do and trying to find happiness, trying to find joy, trying to find contentment with all that he tries to do, and we're not going to go into all of that. But it can be hard to fit those two things together, contentment and change, right? And looking at change, whether we want it or we don't want it, and yet also trying to find contentment, trying to just rejoice and have peace with the way that our life is. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How do we handle being in a season where things aren't changing and we want it to, where we feel like we're stuck and change isn't happening? How do we handle being in that, in a season like that? How do we face a changing season when we don't want it to, when we wish it, things could just always stay the same, but yet things have started to change? How do we handle change in the seasons of life? And I think there's two lessons we can find from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I want to see the first one in verse 11. Verse 11, it tells us this, that God hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I think the first lesson we learn is that we need to search for beauty in every season. Search for beauty in every season. There was a French sculptor, Auguste Rodin, and he said, "Beauty is everywhere. It is not that she is lacking to our eye, but our eyes which fail to perceive her." He said, "Beauty's everywhere. You just have to be able to recognize it. You have to be able to see it. You have to be looking for it." And verse 11 says that God has made everything beautiful in his time. The idea is that the timing of everything is beautiful. The timing that God has put in our life, whether it's the things are staying the same or things are changing, God has said it's a beautiful thing in what God is doing. And God has a plan that everything fits into perfectly, right? He's got a plan for all things in our life. And he's given us an understanding of this. And this is that second phrase in verse 11, where it says, also he has set the world in their heart. The idea of world is really like eternity or the whole scheme of life. And it's the idea that in our hearts, God has put a sense that there's a big plan, that God is a master plan, that God is moving things together. He's given us this understanding that we're just a part of the entire plan that God has, and that what God is doing isn't just about us in this moment. It's bigger than that. We don't always know how everything fits together, but sometimes we can catch just a glimpse of the beauty of God's plan and what God is doing. It's like when you're driving through a scenic area and all of a sudden it's, you know, you're just driving and there's trees on every side, but all of a sudden you come to an opening and there's one of those pull-off spots and you pull over and all of a sudden there's just this opening with a beautiful view, right? You've been staring at trees and everything from out the window of your car, but all of a sudden you get to one spot and you're like, whoa, that's beautiful. You just pull over, you get out of the car, you spend a couple minutes, you take pictures and enjoy the beautiful view. Then you get back in the car and it's just trees on every side again. Right? Every once in a while, though, you get to one of those positions and you just see how beautiful it is. And there's times where God does that for us, where all of a sudden it's like you see how the pieces fit together and you see why God is doing things the way he's doing it and why it's taking so long or why things are changing. And God gives you a glimpse of his plan, that there's a reason for all of that. And it's beautiful when we see the plan of God. And when we think about, if we think about like a painting and how artists work, they use all sorts of colors, right? And there's a lot of times where they'll use dark colors and those dark colors add to the beauty of that painting. And even the difficult times of life add to the beauty of all that God is doing. And go with me to Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul talks about the gospel. And he talks about the cross. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 14, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And as Paul, after the crucifixion of Christ, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Paul talks about the cross, he's talking about how he glories in it, he rejoices in it, that he sees beauty in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But at the time of the crucifixion, none of the disciples saw beauty in it. When the disciples were there in that moment, and Jesus Christ had been arrested and was on trial and then would be crucified, the disciples didn't see how beautiful that was. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22, when the Lord told them that he was going to be crucified, Peter rebukes him and says, "No, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to let this happen," because he didn't see the beauty of that. In that moment, he really struggled to see how great this was. And crucifixion, it's not a beautiful scene. It's not a pretty thing. Even in the way it's when people paint it or they'll draw it, right, or depict it in some way, we go, it's not a beautiful scene. It's a disgusting thing that would take place. But why is it so beautiful for us today? Because we see why. We see why God did it. And we see what God did through the crucifixion of Christ. And we look back and we say with Paul that we glory in the cross of Jesus Christ because we see that God had a purpose in that. But it was a purpose not just in the beauty of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but also in the specific timing of it. Go with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. There's several mentions in the book of John about Jesus specifically timing when he would go to Jerusalem, knowing that he would be crucified there. And this is the beauty that Solomon is bringing out in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11, is there's beauty not just in what God does, but when God does it, in the timing of things. So John chapter 7, in verse 1, we're going to read down through verse 8. "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him." So he has some people around him that are really pushing him to be noticed and to do things and to go to Jerusalem and all of that. But Jesus says to them in verse 6, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." Go with me to chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 20. Jesus said, "It's not my time yet." There is a specific timing in which all of this needs to happen. And he says, "It's not yet." John chapter 8 and verse 20. "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." There was a specific timing in when Jesus Christ would be crucified. And I don't think we know all of the details of why it was exactly that time in the life of Jesus Christ. But there are some things that we can see. One of them is that Jesus was crucified during Passover. And Passover was this Old Testament feast of a lamb being sacrificed for the sins of the nation. And Jesus Christ was sacrificed for our sins at Passover. And we can see, like, God just showing how beautiful the sacrifice of Christ is in the specific timing of that. The beauty of the Lamb of God being sacrificed for us on Passover. And it's just a glimpse of the perfection of God in when he allows things to happen and when things change and when things are held off for a period of time. There's so many, I think, instances of this that we can see in Scripture. Another one from the life of Christ. The timing of when Jesus Christ went to Mary and Martha's house after the death of Lazarus. And he did it at a specific time. His disciples were like, "We should go." And he's like, "No, we're going to wait." And there was a period of time where he just waited. And he says, "I did it for the glory of God, so that the power of God would be seen when he raised Lazarus from the dead." And God said, there was a reason for this. Jesus said, there's specific timing in when I go to Mary and Martha. And Jesus was perfect in the way he timed everything. And when we look at it, we go, you know what? That's beautiful. The plan of God in when things happened. God's timing is beautiful even though we may not be able to see it. Sometimes it's our view is like, it's like me showing you a painting, but I've just zoomed into a 1-inch square and that's all you can see in that painting. And you go, it doesn't look like much, right? It looks like just a swirl or something, or it's one color. Doesn't look that great. But when you see it in the context of the entire painting, you understand just how beautiful it is. It's like if I took you to an orchestra, but I just had one instrument play, like two measures of that symphony, you go, does it sound great? But then you hear it in the context of the entire orchestra and the entire symphony. You're like, oh, I see how it plays a part. I see why it was there for that period of time. And you go, in the context of everything, I see how beautiful it is. And we need to search for that beauty in the season that we're in. As it's delaying or as it's changing and we're looking forward to the next one, search for that beauty. See what God is trying to do. He's put eternity in our hearts, that sense of God has a plan. There is something that God is doing. God is working. Nothing in this world lasts forever. There's always change. And that can be frustrating. That can be comforting. That can be heartbreaking. That can be discouraging. But the arrival, the duration, the departure of these different seasons, it's all in God's timing. And it fits into God's plan. And there's beauty in that. Trust that what God extends, what God ends, what God begins has a purpose. That He's doing something. There's a plan in all of this. We may not see it right now, but I think it shouldn't stop us from searching for the beauty of what God is doing. Search for what God is doing in this and just trust God that He will make everything beautiful in His time. So, how do we handle change? Too fast? Too slow? Search for beauty. Search for what God is trying to do in this time. But here's another lesson we find. If we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want to look down to verse 13 and 14. The second thought we find here is that we need to search for service in our season. Search for service in the season that we're in. Verse 13, Solomon says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor that is the gift of God." Excuse me, verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, "I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." In the season that you're in, or even as you face a new season, search for ways to serve. Search for the work that God has for you to do. If we look back in verse 9 and 10, if we go back to those two verses. Verse 9 and 10, they speak of a life lived for oneself. Because he says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." Right? That labor for personal profit, the travail that we go through. Solomon's point is that all earthly profit is in itself disappointing and not fulfilling. God's put eternity in our hearts. He's made us for something bigger than this. And when we settle for the lesser things of life, for just living for this life, it doesn't fulfill the desire that God has put in our hearts. We have a sense that we were made for bigger things, for more meaningful things than just day by day, right? And just all the things of this life. And man searches for meaning. Man searches for purpose in life. A self-centered life is very disappointing and very unsatisfying, right? We see this even in Jonah. Jonah was a man who was very self-centered. I mean, we find this all through his life, right? When God says, "Here's what I want you to do," Jonah goes, "I don't want to do it," right? And so he runs the opposite direction. His whole story is one of someone who is wrestling with God about what God wants him to do, and Jonah wants to do the opposite. And then even at the end, we find him just frustrated with everything in his life. And we look at Jonah, and he's, no one looks at Jonah as a model of peace and joy. We're like, you know what, I want to have the same peace and joy that Jonah had, right? I want to end my life like the end of Jonah's story, where I'm just sulking and, you know, and miserable, right? Nobody looks at Jonah that way. The principle we find in Scripture is that maybe Jonah didn't grasp is that giving is far better than getting, right? That as we give and as we pour of ourselves into the Lord and give to the Lord, that is far more fulfilling than trying to just get for ourselves. What you gain by giving is greater than what you'd have by keeping. I fumbled through that. Let me say that again. What you gain by giving is greater than what you'd have by keeping. And that doesn't make sense to us, but it's true. Right? If we just try and hoard to ourselves, we're not going to have as much as if we just gave. We just give to the Lord and do what God has called us to do. That's how we gain the blessings of God, is by giving. So the thought is, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, don't make this season all about you. Don't make it all about you and your life, but search for the ways that God has called you to serve. That's verse 9 and 10. Then we come down to verse 12 and 13. This verse 12 and 13 describe the sort of life that we all want, the rejoicing, the happiness, and the joy. So I'm going to read them again. Verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. The key to finding happiness in every season of life is to do the good that God's called you to do. Do the good things that God has given you to do. No matter where you find yourself in life, God has something for you to do. God has something good that he wants you to be doing. And it talks about finding the joy in that, right? And enjoying the good of the labor that God has given to us, the ways God has called us to serve in the season that we're in. God has something for us. If the season that you're in is not changing, if you're just kind of like going through and you're like, nothing's happening, it's just everything is staying the same, it means that there's still work that God has for you to do in that season, right? So be faithful. Just be faithful to keep serving in that season of life. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Don't stop until God moves you, until God changes things. Just know that God still has work for you to do, that there is still a purpose that needs to be accomplished. There's still things God wants you to do. Just keep being faithful. Keep serving where God has placed you, even as you're looking for that season to maybe be over. Maybe you're just discouraged with the way things are. But if God is not changing things, just keep plugging away. Keep doing what God wants you to do in that season. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37 and 38, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And the Lord looked at the disciples and he said, God's the one in control, and he directs people to where he wants them to go. Right? Like you would talk about, and in those times they would have a Lord of the harvest who would kind of be the guy in charge of all the different harvests. And he would look at all the workers and would go, this field is ready first, let's go to this field. And then the next day they were like, all right, now that field. He would just direct everybody. And the Lord says, this is who God is. He moves us. And in his timing, he says, you stay in that field. I want you in that field. There's more reaping to be done. There's more labor to be done. And if God says that field is where we need to be, then we just stay there and we keep working. And in God's timing, God will move us. God will have us, things change in our life, and all of a sudden we have maybe different people that we're able to minister to, or a different way we can minister. But that's all of God's timing. When things aren't changing, stay where you're at. Minister to the people God has around you. Do the work that God has called you to do. If your season is changing, you go, well, seems like God's moving things around in my life, then it means he's got a new area of service. He's got new ways for you to serve. And there's excitement in that. There's rejoicing in those things. And if you're surrendered, God will show you. God will show you a new group of people or a new area or whatever it might be, a different ministry, I don't know. But God will show you if you're surrendered and willing to do what he has for you to do. And he has some important work. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's always joy in just giving yourself to Jesus Christ. There's rejoicing in finding and fulfilling the purpose of God for us. Search for that service in your season, and then lose yourself in God's plan for you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." If you lose your will and your life in God's, he says, you'll find it. You'll find that life of happiness and peace and joy, because you've lost your life in God. And now he has given you real life. He's given you purpose and meaning. He's given you something to do that's far more meaningful than all the little things of this life. That's what we need to be looking for. Right in the season that we seem to be stuck in, there's ways to serve. There's something God wants for us to do. If things are changing and we're looking ahead going, I'm a little nervous about things changing, I'd like things to stay the same, look for what God has for you. Look for the new way God has for you to serve and find your purpose and your joy in that. Life changes. We go from season to season. We can't speed life up as much as we'd like to sometimes. We also can't slow it down as much as we'd like to maybe hold on to some things in life. And sometimes we struggle to be okay with how things change. And we don't want things to change, or we want things to change. Have you ever gone to a go-kart track? You know, you pick out your car. They're all lined up there in the little spaces there. And so you go and you pick yours, and then you start, right? And they let you go, and all of a sudden you're halfway through the first lap, and you realize you picked the slow one. Have you ever got there, right? You're like, pedal to the metal, and I'm not going, right? Like, everybody seems to be passing me, and I seem to be stuck in the slow car. And sometimes life feels like that, you know? You're pedal to the metal, and you're like, I want to go faster. I want things to move, and yet it's like everybody else is passing by, or like things just aren't moving. And maybe that's how you feel today. You're like, I want to go faster. I would want things to change. I don't want things to be the way they are. I want things to be like my life to just progress to some different season in whatever way that might be. And you're like, God's not moving as fast as I want him to move. I feel like I'm just stuck where I am. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it feels like you got in a go-kart and things are just happening too fast. You're like, I just want to enjoy this ride. And you have people like bumping you and pushing you, and behind you, they're like, go faster. You're like, I don't want to. I just want to enjoy my ride. You know, I just want to be at peace on my little go-kart. You know, and sometimes we're like, life is just moving way too fast for me. And things are changing, and I want to hold on to how things are. I don't want things to move. I just want to be where I am. And sad by how things are changing and missing the way things used to be. We come to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and God reminds us that he's got a purpose, and he has a plan, and that he's put eternity in our hearts. We understand that in all things that happen, God is moving things around, and God is at work, and God has a purpose, and God has a plan, and we trust his timing in that. And we look and we search for how beautiful the plan of God is. And even though we may not be able to see it in that moment, we trust that God is doing something. And we trust that when we look back, whether it's in this life or whether it's when we get to glory, we're going to look at it and see the entire portrait and go, it is beautiful what God was doing in all of that. And then we take time and we go, in this season where I'm here, or in the next one that I'm moving to, I'm going to look for what God has for me. Because God has a plan. God has things he wants me to be doing. God has a work for me to do, and I'm gonna search for that. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to surrender to him. I'm going to do what he has called me to do in this time and in the next season when it comes. Not every season is easy. Some are hard. Not every season is short. Some seem to take forever. They're all different. But if we search for it, we'll find beauty and we'll find service in every time in life. I want to close with this thought. If you remember years ago, Dan Souza was here, evangelist Dan Souza. I don't remember how long ago, but remember he gave us a phrase that I don't feel like we've said in a long time. He taught us this years ago. He says, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, right? And it's true. In every season of life, we look at it and go, you know what? God's good. God is good. And we rest in that, and we trust in that. Look for the beauty. Just trust the beauty of God in the timing of all things. Look for ways that you can serve. Do what God has called you to do. And we'll find out that, you know what? All the time, God is good. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank you for our time this morning. Lord, I am thankful that we know that you are in complete control. Lord, we don't have to try and control everything in our life because we can trust you. We can rest in you. Lord, help us, Lord, in the times that we're just frustrated with change. Lord, whether it's happening too fast or not fast enough, Lord, help us to simply take a step back and look at you. Help us see your plan in all things, your timing, and how perfect you are in what you do. Help us to get our eyes off ourselves and see the work that you've called us to do. See the people around us that you want us to serve. See the ways that you want us to work. Lord, help us to do what you've called us to do. Lord, again, we thank you for how great you are. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. May we be faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.